As you can see, today is Communion Sunday. And, I used to preach several years, preached a message on Communion Sunday. But I haven't done that too much lately. And today, as we take communion, I want to do a sermon I call Understanding Communion. Now you say, well, why do I need that? Well, there are some new people with us that might not know much about communion. And there are even some Christians that don't understand it because it's never really been taught. In fact, you don't hardly hear anything on communion except we need to take it. And some ask, why communion? Why do this? And these are really good questions, and I'm going to answer them this morning. Now, the best way to understand communion is to go back to the Old Testament, to Israel's deliverance from captivity from Egypt. So let's go to Exodus 12, beginning with the first verse. Exodus 12, and I'm going to read from the NLT this morning. When the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat the whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They will take some blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the house where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter herbs, bitter salad, along with bitter salad greens. The other translation said bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The animal, including the head, legs, entrails, organs, must be roasted over the fire. Do not leave any until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before the morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency for the Lord's Passover. For this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. Now, this is known as the Passover feast. It was celebrated because of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Now, Egypt has been taught as back then, I'm not saying the land of Egypt is now, but back then, that because they were in bondage to Pharaoh, it is pictured as a type of sin. We are bondage to sin. It's important to notice, it says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the important part. Actually, that's why it's called the Passover feast, because the death angel passed over. Now, let's go to the New Testament. to Luke 22. Now, as we look at all this, we need to put it all together because it goes together. Many people don't understand that. That's why I'm trying to put this in perspective today so that everyone can understand why we even have communion. In Luke 22, starting with verse 10 in New King James, "And he said to him, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it just as he said, and had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when the hour was come, he sat down with and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom has come. And then he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and given it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. Now, Jesus understood that he was about to be crucified. It was Passover time. So he is sharing this Passover meal, and the significance here is relevant, so stay with me. He's sharing this Passover meal with his disciples because, if you remember, when God gave this to him, he said, This is a law forever. They were to celebrate it every year at this time to celebrate their deliverance, just as we celebrate the 4th of July, as when this country was set free to be an independent country. We celebrate many holidays for the reason, it's a reason that we celebrate a holiday. So this was a reason to celebrate a special time when they had been delivered, their forefathers had been delivered from Egypt's bondage. They were in bondage, they were slaves in Egypt. And now, as he is fixing to be crucified, or getting ready to, you know, they are remembering that they were set free by God. And so now we look at this for just a moment. God sent 9 plagues upon the Egyptians, and Pharaoh refused to let the people go. So he sent this last plague. The death angel would come, and the life of the firstborn of every family would be taken. The only way to escape this was to have the blood of the lamb on the top of the door and down each side of the door. And when the death angel saw the blood, he would pass over that house, and the firstborn was spared. Now, as Jesus sat there with his disciples, with the meal of roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs or bitter salad, he instituted and set in place a new Passover for the Christian. As he was there with them, look at this. He took some bread. and he broke it. And he told them to eat this because it was to remind them of the stripes that he took on his back for our healing. Then he took the cup and told them to drink from the cup. Now, as we think about this, we look at what Peter said, one of the disciples that was sitting at that table when the Passover was instituted. Our Passover. It's called communion. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So when we eat this bread, we are to remember what he did for us. His body was beaten and broken that we might have physical healing. Now, as he took this juice and he had them to drink it, it is in remembrance of the fact that he shed his blood on Calvary's hill for the remission or the cancellation of our sin. Now, see the significance here? Now, and it says in Hebrews 9:22, the last clause of that verse says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, I want you to notice, deliverance from the death angel. They ate a certain meal. They put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed over them. Now, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took the stripes up on his back in Pilate's judgment hall. Then he carried the cross down the Via Dolorosa to Calvary's hill, and they nailed him to that cross, and the blood flowed from the crown of thorns that pierced his head, from his hands as the nails, and from his feet, and from his side where they put the spear. And the blood flowed from Calvary's hill. Now, the Israelites were familiar with having a sacrificial lamb that was slain. If you go read the story in the Old Testament, at the tabernacle in the wilderness, they would slay the lamb. They would roast the lamb there on the pit outside of the holy place. Then the high priest would take another lamb and he would wipe the blood on that lamb and set it loose as a covering for sin. And then he would go, the high priest, and only the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies with some of that blood and put it on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant where the power of God resided. Now, as they took this lamb and put the blood over the doors, they were familiar with that. Now, we come to the New Testament, and we have another lamb. that became the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. But it's through his blood, because we accept him as our personal Savior, that we become born again, or our sins are forgiven. But they had to do that in the Old Testament every year. Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb that shed his blood on Calvary's hill once and for all. So that is the reason that we have communion. This was Jesus establishing, and we call it the Lord's Supper. This, and he established this at that eating of the Passover, which was his last supper. And so now we call this the Lord's table, or the communion is the Passover for us as Christians. And if you remember, he said, as we read here in Luke's gospel, do this in remembrance of me. So you can understand deliverance from Egypt, which was a type of sin, through the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorpost. Deliverance from sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's applied to our hearts. I'm giving a simplistic answer to a theological question. But how many understand do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Some of you have never heard it explained in this particular way, but I wanted us to have a clear understanding of why we take communion in the first place. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It goes all the way back to when God took Israel out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, and how every year they had to go through this ceremony, putting the blood on the Lamb and sending it out as a covering for sin. And they had to eat this Passover meal as a celebration. So now at that particular meal, Jesus picked up bread and broke it. He took a cup and said, drink this. This is my blood, representing his blood. So now we come to some real theological things. And I'm going to, historically, there have been three major views that have been presented for the Lord's Supper or the communion. Number one is transubstantiation. That is that the bread and the juice become the real flesh and blood of Jesus. Transubstantiation. As far as I can see from studying the scripture, I see no scriptural evidence of this whatsoever. Now, there is another one that's called consubstantiation. And that means that the presence of the Lord comes to be with you when you eat and drink the cup. But once again, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, tells us that when we are born again, are saved, his presence is with us all the time. Now, the third one is memorialism. And that simply means that the bread and the cup are only symbols and a reminder of what Christ did.
Now, as we look back at a special prepared lamb eaten with unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, or a bitter salad would be another term. They would eat this every year in remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt. Now, they're there. They're not in Egypt. It is a remembrance of what God did for their forefathers. And he said, this should be a law forever. So here Jesus is some thousands years later, and he is sitting at that table with that roasted lamb, with that unleavened bread, that means it doesn't have any yeast in it, and that bitter salad. And he is partaking of that. But then he made some statements here. He said that he desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the bread and he broke and gave thanks, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And then likewise he took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And there, when he gave him the bread, he said, do that in remembrance of him. So now here we are, some 2,000 plus years from when Jesus instituted the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. And we now see that this bread and this cup are simply symbols that we are partaking to remember what he did for us, the lamb that was slain on Calvary's hill. Now, just as God set the Passover meal as a reminder of the deliverance of Egypt, which is a type of sin, Jesus instituted a new Passover meal that he set in place while he was eating the Passover meal that God established with Israel. Now he is establishing a covenant of remembrance with us, the born again believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you study in theology, you will find out that the born-again Christian, according to Galatians chapter 3, you can read it, have become the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Okay? Now, the direct descendants of Abraham had this special meal that they had in remembrance of their deliverance. Now, Jesus at that table came in and he established a new Passover for the spiritual descendants of Abraham, the spiritual Israel that we are called theologically sometimes. He established the Lord's table. God established that feast. Jesus established this feast because everyone that came under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that stain, beneath that fountain, lose all their guilty stain. Now, here, Jesus is establishing the new Passover. This is our Passover. we that have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that are born again by that blood. In 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Now, Paul was not there. But Paul, after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, he was taken into the Arabian desert for 3 years and taught by Jesus himself. And that's why he said, for I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you. That Jesus on the same night, now here we hear, that's just what I've been saying. On the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, God established a certain day of the year, of the month. It was on the 14th day of that first month, and he said, this shall, from now on, this is going to be the first month of the year. And he said, you do it every year. But when Jesus established this, he said, as often as you do it. That means we need to do it at least one time a year. Many people do it every day. We have chosen here at Rhema Church, we have chosen the first Sunday of every month to partake of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, the communion, our Passover feast. This is our Passover feast right here. Now, as we take communion this morning, I want you to realize three things. Or actually, I should say, I want you to do three things. Number one, I want you to look back to the cross and the sacrifice he made for you to be spiritually free from sin. Secondly, I want you to look within. And it's a time that we, and see, this was a time in the old when they examined themselves. I want you to examine your life, your action, your motives. And what is your spiritual condition? Where are you spiritually? You know, you can be close to God or not living as close to God as you should. I'm not talking about being in sin. I'm talking about just not being in communication with him. Thirdly, I want you to look outwardly and realize that the participation in communion helps us with the perspective of our need for the body of Christ. We need each other. God established that. That's why you hear me say when we take communion, if you're not sitting with your family, go and sit with your family, so that we can take communion as a family and as a church family. How many of you have heard me say that when we was taking a communion? Now maybe you understand a little better why. The fourth thing, look ahead. Participating in communion helps us to understand and realize that he died, he arose, and he's coming again. I trust, as I have hurriedly and quickly as possible tried to give you a real understanding of communion, I trust that it has been beneficial and been helpful. I want you that are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus, I want you to get ready to participate in taking of your Passover meal, the Lord's communion. But wait for just a minute with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in this place and you can't partake of this with us because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to accept Him, but you know that you're not where you need to be with Him, and you need to rededicate your life to Christ. If that's you, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room, I want to see your hand because I want your life to be changed this morning. And then you can participate in the Lord's Supper. Anybody in the room, anywhere, let me see your hand now. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand for just a moment, please. I trust you got something out of what I had to say this morning. Let's prepare ourselves to receive communion now as the staff comes and the ushers come.